Hey, everybody.
Hey,
how you
good
doing?
afternoon, everybody.
Hope
Merry
everything's
Christmas.
going great in your neck of the woods. Huh? You want to say hey to everybody?
Hey, great to have you with us today. We're so excited about the holidays and just doing a little bit of a holiday theme today. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, we're so glad that you're with us. And wherever you are, I'm maybe saying happy morning. I'm maybe saying good afternoon. Some of you overseas, it might be who knows when, or maybe you're watching it on demand later, but it's actually noon here. So we can say happy afternoon, barely. We're in Pagosa Springs, Colorado, and we're here with our four children, and three of them have spouses, and we have five grandchildren. So if you hear some crying in the background, one of them decided they wanted to be part of the webinar today, or if you see a sighting going across the screen, you'll know what that's all about. But I'm really looking forward to today because we're going to talk about how the holidays are for the heart.
Right.
And, you know, pastors, when you have a big family, and all of them are in different circumstances, different situations. And you and I, early, one of the things that we experienced, and you probably knew earlier than me because you were PK, so you had a lot of experience at it. But one of the things that we realized was that to have the holiday our church family needed and to have the holiday that our family needed, it's going to take some intentionality. So when we started pastoring, I was in my late 20s, and you're a couple of years younger than me. And the first year, God blessed our church and went from 200 to 400. I'll never forget that. But we were tired. And we said, man, we're going to figure this out. And fortunately, your parents had a home in Steamboat.
Yeah.
And we went up there in January and had a good week, just got refreshed. And then the next year, because they sold the house, I only had it like 2 years, I think. But anyway, the next year, we got to the end of the year. And I don't know if you remember this, that we knew we needed to get away. So we did it early, which was like after Thanksgiving, we went to Steamboat and we had Michael and Andrea, just two. Yeah. And they had like this record snowfall. The whole mountain opened up. It was phenomenal. And we didn't even know if we could afford it, right?
Yeah.
We looked at each other and we said, if nothing else, we'll have one great vacation. And then if the church fails, at least we'll have had a great vacation.
Good memory.
Anyway, it didn't fail. God bless it. But anyway, it's something. So then we came up with a strategy where we talked about having Christmas with the church up until the second Sunday of December and making that our big time. And then going from an outward focus to an inward focus. And so that's what we're still doing today. We've been doing it for years, and it's such a blessing to touch hearts for people because there's stuff going on this time of year.
There's stuff going on. And, you know, I mentioned to you earlier, but our first Christmas, we've been married almost 36 years. Our anniversary is the 21st.
Six days.
21st of December, and it was a very hectic time. But, you know, that Christmas was not the – it was great because we got married, but that was a difficult Christmas, and people go through difficult times during Christmas, and often you feel it deeper during these times, just whatever you're going through. But he had lost both his mother and his father's mother 10 days before Christmas and our wedding.
16 days before 16 Christmas.
Days, 12 16
days before 12, our wedding.
Yeah, that's right. And then his father just 4 months earlier. So it was a great time because we were getting married, but it was a very difficult time. He was 25 years old. So we know that people experience not only happy times during Christmas, but difficult emotions and difficult things as well. The loss of people, of course, we've been experiencing in this season. There's been a lot of loss.
Yeah,
in the
a lot of COVID.
In our church,
it's been
a lot of COVID. But, you know, we have been intentional of our marriage about, you know, making memories with our family. And when you have a church, a big church, you have a lot of family.
Yeah, and you know, we've had musical dramas that have had up to 10% of our city attend them over the years. So if you're going to put something like that on, that's going to be a lot of effort. And so I remember 1 year before we got smart, because we did ours the third Sunday, because there was another church that did theirs earlier and we didn't want to compete with them, right? So that year was hard. That was the year we looked at each other and said, we didn't have enough time. And so we moved everything up, and the pattern started working so much better. But, it is hard sometimes. I'd have a tie to see you on Christmas.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned the Christmas whenever, you know, my parents both passed, my dad 4 months before Christmas, my mom 12 days,
that was different.
Buried in the dress you bought for my wedding. So that wasn't easy at all. But the Bible says that God comforted Isaac through the coming of Rebecca when his mother died. God comforted me through the coming of Tamara. I still remember our honeymoon. You bring that little green Christmas tree in. That was awesome.
It was a new beginning.
It was a new beginning. Yeah. And God works for good in the midst of all things. And that's what we celebrate during this time of the year. Well, today's going to be really unique because we have four children. And we thought that not just us sharing things that we've learned, but having them come on and talk just from their perspective. What is it that pastors do that really is a blessing to kids? Or what could we do even better? Because we know we're just not perfect people. Exactly. We try hard, but we're just not. So they're going to come on in just a little bit. And they're going to help us on this one. But first, you're going to welcome some
people. I am. And I want to just say it has taken some work for them all four to get here because they're busy. And we're just so blessed that everybody put time in their schedule to be here. And one came from Tulsa, one from New Mexico, two from Victoria. But just to get them all here, parents, you know, if you have kids that are grown with grandkids, what a blessing to have that. So anyway, I want to welcome some pastors that are with us. They're new since our last webinar, all the way from Lahore, Pakistan. Pastor Francis Bashir from Price King. We're so glad to have you. Pastor Joe Alzate from Grace Life from Morrilton, Arkansas. Pastor Philip Burns from Relentless Worship Center in Dalton, Georgia. Pastor Glenn Burris from International Church of the Four Square Gospel from Canton, Georgia. Pastor Dave Cahoon from Sunbury Christian Church in Sunbury, Ohio.
I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, if you're new to the webinar. Yeah.
Pastor Dylan Dodson from New City Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Pastor Brad Good from Life Church, Council Grove, Kansas. Pastor Delano Miller from White Oak Missionary Church in Enfield, North Carolina. Pastor Deborah Ogletree from St. Paul Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church from Dayton, Ohio. And then Pastor Mike Patton from Metropolitan Tabernacle. I'm sorry, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Pastor Aaron Chappell. I hope I said that right. Crossroads Assembly of God, Elmhurst Township, Pennsylvania.
Oh, there we go. That's wonderful. Wonder if that's East or West. I want to let everybody know we're in the chat. I want to say hi to Joe Caminetti Jr., say hi to Brian Schmigel and to Pastor Don Duncan. So good to talk to all you guys. Pastor Deborah, great to see you. Pastor Gary, hey, glad you're getting snow in Montana. We talked about that. Scott Porter up in Illinois, say hi to all you guys. Yeah. And if you have any questions for my kids, if you want to put them in the hot seat, that would be awesome today.
Okay, Pastor Aaron Timberlake from Destination Church in Clue, Texas. We know where that is.
Yeah.
Not far from us. Pastor Andrew Whitener,
New Life
Church, Fairfield, Texas. Pastor Fred Wilson from LifePoint Church in Kettering, Ohio. We're so glad all of you joined us.
Yeah, well, we're going to make room on the couch for Jeff and Eden to come join us. And I'm going to talk for just a minute because this we're using the most interesting Christmas text, and Jeff, you're doing one of the messages with me, so you can identify. But we're talking about where Paul said, man, I have such anguish in my heart, and it's because all these Israelites have an education about God that aren't really experiencing God. And the church has just been loving this series because Paul talked about the six things that we should treasure when we think about Christmas. And the first one being we're adopted as sons and daughters, and the second one is that we have the divine glory, that God meets all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, the things he does for us we can never do on our own. And then right before we came, we talked about the covenants. And one of them was the Abrahamic covenant. And we love serving pastors and we love serving your families because we believe that you're the seed of Abraham. And we believe that the revelation of God is coming into the earth through these awesome pastoral families who are set apart to do the will of the Lord. And you know, if you're new to Significant Church, there's two parts to it. Number one, we want people to get what they need to live in the God-given dream that he put in their heart through who they absolutely love hanging out with. It's just so life-giving. It's just so good. And then the second thing is we love to see the least reached parts of the world have thriving churches. So we're just a band of brothers and sisters who've come together to celebrate what God's doing in each other's heart. We're all at different levels. We all have different sized churches. None of that matters. What matters is what God's doing in the heart of everybody who's a part of the family. So, Jeff, you're going to kind of close out that series, but tell them a little bit about this.
Okay, Jeff is our youngest of four. And he's our student pastor here at Faith Family. He just graduated recently with his master's from Fuller University.
Yep.
And then Eden, his wonderful wife, he met at ORU. She's from Tulsa. Both of her parents are professors at ORU. And so we sure love them and appreciate them. But she's in PA school right now, so they are very busy. She's in another city going to school, but she's doing an awesome job. And so we're just blessed. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about. What
are
we
going to
talk about?
Yeah, well, no, you can start. But they had asked us, first of all, I would say, I think we're busy. And so we hang out with all of our siblings who have like three kids, two kids.
We're not that busy. We are getting sleep.
But we are having a good time on the holidays. And one thing that we're supposed to talk about, that we want to talk about, is how to remain happy on the holidays and during the holidays. And so we both grew up with several traditions we did that we thought just to start would be fun to share with you. You can start.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my parents are real big gift givers. That's one of their love languages. And my dad always would do all this research about finding an ornament every year that he would give to us.
Yes.
That kind of summarized a big event that happened for us in the year. Yeah. And now that I'm, you know, in my 20s and married, it's cool to look back on those ornaments that represented those years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like the first year I started cheerleading, he got me a little cheerleader. And then like even last year, we bought our first house. So he bought us a little house ornament. So that was really
so
fun.
Cool.
And we kind of want to do that moving forward and having our own kids so they can have that tradition as well.
Yeah, I like that. Did you say that again?
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Well, a little bit of time. And
your parents are busy people, just like your dad. He was he oversaw the, I think he edited the translation of the ESV version.
The MEV,
Modern English version. Okay. Mm-hmm. But so he did that. He was a department head at ORU before. Mm-hmm. He got really, really busy over the theology department.
Yeah.
Your mom is a department head, I think, now.
Yes. She's wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah,
right,
they're
now
busy people, but they always took time.
Yeah.
And you felt that as a kid.
I did.
It's cool. It was cool for me marrying in to like lay out 25 ornaments and see
so
like,
cool.
Oh, here's Eden's life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's cool. And so they do it for me now too. So I've gotten three ornaments.
Cool.
I got my, I'll get
like
my
it
fourth this year, something like that. That's pretty cool. But then they had one that
there's one that was a lot of fun for me. I'm a big shopper. I love to go out. I love to buy things. It's probably a problem more so. They kind of used it to kind of do a little bit of the Christmas spirit in us as kids. And we'd get an angel tree just with this long list of what a child who was in need was wanting. And so we'd go out and we would shop till we dropped for this kid, just totally spoiling them, having the best time buying all this stuff. And it was just really fun to, you know, really think about other people who, you know, don't have
that's
what
awesome
we have.
Especially as a little kid, not just getting it all yourself,
right,
but thinking about something
else. I remember Andrea, whenever she was little, we were watching, I think it was Bill Wilson. It was on the TV and it was around Christmas. And he was talking about kids in need. She ran upstairs, got her piggy bank and brought it down.
Oh,
that was so touching. But, you know, this is so good because iron sharpens iron. And I just sit and I learn from your parents. I that's what I love about stuff like this is we can just share ideas and it helps all of us.
Good. Yeah. Her parents really are two of the most giving people I've ever met. But I was thinking about our traditions and looking back. So one of the traditions we always have is every Christmas Eve, we'd watch It's a Wonderful Life, which is a movie. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. And then we'd sleep in front of the fireplace. And it was always so much fun. But I just started thinking in retrospect, you were probably what, 50? And we didn't tell us 18 until Mike was like 25. I don't know. But yeah. And so I just started thinking, like, I was telling her we were walking outside, and I'm like, there's no way my parents wanted to sleep on the floor. Like, with a king-size bed, just in the
mattress topper.
I snuck to my bed every once in a while.
Yeah, we'd always wake up, and one of them would be gone. But just y'all knew how much we loved it as kids.
Yeah.
So you guys did it, and then kind of building on that whole thought, every time we took vacations, and we still do it to this day, the kids all get to pick what we're doing for an evening. So I would get to pick for an evening, Mike, Ange, Em, and now that we have spouses, we kind of decide together. And so sometimes you would pick, you know, they'd pick a card game. And I remember being little, just being like, I don't want to do a stupid card game. Let's do something better. Let's go. Yeah, I never did. And there was a lot of times where I probably didn't have as good of an attitude as I should have. And I wanted.
Yeah. He has such a good attitude, doesn't he?
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've learned. And there were times where I would think about more what I wanted to do, not the good of everybody as a whole. And even if I didn't want to play the card game, I'd throw an attitude, try to do what I wanted to do, and they'd bring me back for the card game. And I normally would kind of, you know, sometimes sour the environment. But I think one thing I've learned, and it goes back to even what you showed us, is one of the best ways to stay happy in the holidays is not thinking about what you want to do, but staying at peace with everybody around you. Because at the end of the day, you can do what you want to do alone, or you can do something and all be in harmony and all be at peace. And no matter what that thing is, I've just, even if it's a dumb card game, you'll have more fun if you're at peace. Really, but really the common theme from her parents to y'all sleeping in front of the fireplace to is you were thinking bigger than yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the best thing for the holidays is to learn to think bigger than yourself, even if it's not easy.
Yeah.
We got these little grandkids with us now, and sometimes they need to sleep. Sometimes they throw up. Sometimes they poop their head. And it's like, well, we're not going to throw a fit about it. It's better to just all have a good time. So anyway, I know I will not change a diaper. It's disgusting. Maybe when I have my own, the Lord will. Well, you do.
See, Jeff was at a disadvantage because he was the one when he was little. I knew how he was thinking because he's at least part of it, like you, part like me. And so when he would do like that, I was just that same way. But the other thing, just to let you know, I've never changed a diaper except my own kids.
There you go.
I'm not saying I wouldn't emergency, but I'm just telling you.
There's a bank of this, right? I can go back.
Yeah, you can prove that. Yeah, when you have your kids, you can remember this.
Not my kid. But anyway, yeah, so we're thinking about happiness in the holidays.
That's
and I think
good.
A big part of it isn't really about what you do. It's about who you do it with.
Yeah.
And so if those relationships are strained, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my parents were really good at that, in that they kept us together. And of course, my brother's not alive anymore, but I have three sisters who I go home and they make all my mom's old favorite.
They stop everything.
They stop everything. And they, in fact, one day, one of my friends got this cool motorbike for Christmas. And, you know, there are five of us, so I wasn't going to get a motorbike. And I remember kind of throw a little, you know, a little something my dad's way. And not my dad, but my mom later said, you know what? When you get older, you're going to be glad you got sisters on a motorbike.
Wow, that's good.
My mom was very intentional about the fact that we'd be close until the day that we died.
Mm-hmm.
And things come up. People are people. You have individual things. But when you have a parent who sets that kind of vision, like my mom did, it really, we've all talked about what a blessing it is, because we just go home and you can sit and start laughing in 2 minutes, you know, because you've been a part of each other's lives.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, for sure.
Really, now we're going to have lunch downtown.
We are. We're about to go get something to eat downtown, but I'm so glad I get to do this.
Thank you for being a part.
And then tonight, Polar Express, we're riding this ride.
Yeah, I think we're going to try to see if we can find the whole family onesies.
Oh, boy.
I think usually we're
going to that's the real reason we're going.
You are.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
We're
going to have to get XL for this guy.
Yeah.
I'd love to see
him. Yeah, it's extra large if you're wondering.
Just gonna get you a spandex one.
That's awesome.
Cool. Well, thank you for having
me. Thank you. That was so good.
Of course.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Okay.
And thanks for tuning in. Good to see you guys.
Sip your little drink there for a second.
Tim, we're going to bring Emily on in a minute. Before you do, I'm going to have Pastor Moses Rhonda.
Oh,
Merry Christmas. And I want to say one more thing. I want to say Kalika Sekukula. I just know I said it, Merry Christmas in your language, because that's where I first preached the gospel. Was in Uganda awesome. Many, many years ago, 1983. So, Pastor Moses, we're glad you're with us.
Yeah. Em, come join us. Hello, Em is our third.
Hi. How are you?
This is Emily works with us, and actually lives in Tulsa right now. And
that's getting her master's. Rory, getting her MDiv, and at the same time, she handles our marketing, does all her writing, makes my sermon better the second time, and it goes into the paper. So you want to tell them a little bit about Emily?
Yeah, Emily is just amazing. She was an athlete when she was young, just as a competitive awesome heart. She's courageous. She's strong. She's feisty. She's fun. And we just really have always enjoyed her. Just her spunk.
She's been patient with her dad. When she was little, we were at a, I think, Michael's baseball game. There's two little kids arguing about who was faster. And I told him, I bet this girl could beat either one of you. And so she lined up for me and whooped him. It was such an awesome day. But she's been competitive. She's very, very feminine, and she's very feisty. So Emily and I've had a lot of fun over the years. So, but and we're talking about just pastors and how when the holiday comes, the church is a big family, and that's there's pressure from that, and you just want your church to really have a good family holiday. The most used word in the New Testament for the church is family. So a church that doesn't feel like a family, that's not good. And then you have your own family. So juggling all that. So what would you say some of the best things, some things maybe we could learn and do even better?
Well, I don't know if I have anything you could learn and do anything better. But
hey, Ava, come see Papa.
Oh, that's my niece.
Come
hey,
see
baby.
Papa.
Come sit with me.
Come sit with me.
Yeah.
Maybe so. You might see her.
She'll be up next, huh?
Yeah.
I think so. What I thought about kind of in what makes my heart happy over the holidays is I thought that there are really two groups of people that I enjoy spending a lot of time with and had memories with over the holidays. And the first one was our church family. Yeah. You know, I think back about our Christmas Eve service. And that was a service where I knew I was going to swap gifts with all my friends because that was the last time I would see them probably before the new year. We obviously had our candlelight, so we always loved that. And so then afterwards, we'd come home, and our church family was always so loving, and they made us tamales. And so mom would spread it all out. So I just remember having a lot of great memories with our church family. And now as an adult, I think about, you know, you've taught us before that the number one term I use is family for the church. And so now as an adult, it's really great to be able to see kids in our youth or in our young adults who maybe don't have that family. And you get to be a part of showing up and creating this family that they get to be a part of, regardless of what their home family is like, you know? And so that obviously didn't necessarily make my heart happy as a kid because I didn't know to have that perspective. But as an adult now, it makes my heart really happy to get to be a part of that. And then the other group was our own family, you know, that we got to make memories together. And I really, to this day, my siblings are the closest friends, you know, for me. And you realize that wasn't by accident, but that was by intention as you get older. You guys created those environments where, yes, we got to give and we got to be a part of the church family, but then you come home and you get to be a part of your own personal family. And for me, I tended to, in my junior high and high school years, kind of put that pressure on myself to like be an example for my friends. And so it helped me too to kind of remove myself from that and say, you know, now I'm just going to be and I'm just going to be with my family and enjoy these memories. And so I think it gives you a place to kind of to solidify just, you know, where you come from, where you belong. Before the new year starts. And so specific memories, I mean, we slept by the fireplace, we watched It's a Wonderful Life, we ate a ton of food on Christmas Eve.
We sat with the Grinch.
we sat with the Grinch. Okay, I was young.
But, no, I meant we sang with him.
Oh, did. Yeah. Yes, we did. Stink. So there's so many little memories I can mention, but just the intentionality.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, even here, it took intentionality for everybody to get here, you know, because everybody's got lives and busy. And so just for y'all to make room for this. But I think it's been sown through the years, you know, you intentionally sow so that you reap, you know, a strong, supportive family.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen you guys, I mean, prioritize it and you see the payoff. So I think it makes it, you know.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, whenever, you know, this whole thing gets done, you're not going to be asking to preach one more sermon. You're not going to be, it's going to be the people closest to you. And so that's a big blessing, but it's a lot of fun. What's the funniest thing that you remember? What did somebody...
Do you want me to share? Because it's probably...
That's okay. Just remember I'm paying for it.
That was one. Michael, would you like to share? That is a really funny one. I'll let you do that one. Probably one of my funniest is, Dad, we were on family vacation, but I think there was something that you're kind of having to manage, like, from a distance at the same time. So you did a really good job of leaving work there. This particular time, I think there was something that you had on your mind when you were going up the hill. And so there was a man who was at the top, and he was like, hey, you know, unloading everybody as they get off.
We were doing the tube, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You missed that part. We were riding on a tube up the hill so that you could then sled down. And so people were going, you attached to this hook or this pulley, yeah. I guess, and it would pull you up the hill, and then you were supposed to get off so that you could then tube down. So there was our whole family going up, and we were all little. And then my dad, who's 6'2", not small.
6'2", too many guy, pounds.
was coming up the hill, and we just heard this guy say, excuse me, sir? Sir? And slowly it got like, a little bit more worried, like, sir? And then my dad just took him out. He was thinking about something else. He never got off his feet.
Yeah. So, started going down the other track.
Yeah, there are some other ones, but that was really funny.
Give a shout out to Larry Helms because he makes it easy for me to get away. He really takes care of stuff at home base, but you can't help if somebody's ADD. They still make mistakes like that. So.
We have a couple of those stories like that.
Oh, man.
Well, only one spouse can be perfect. Tamara's the perfect one, the one that makes the message. So. Anyway, well, that was so good. And that was really, really good.
Yes.
Christmas Eve, we didn't do Christmas Eve right away. Some of y'all remember this. John Nuzzo, I don't know if he's on today, but it's so funny. He talks about how Christmas would come and he wouldn't preach any Christmas message, and then he preached one. I'll let John talk about that on his own, but his wife kind of got on him afterwards. And it's fun. It just was with John not long ago, and he said for their holidays, they would make a turkey. He said nobody would eat the turkey because they were all Italian. He said, we ate all the lasagna.
Yeah,
and he said the turkey just sat there because it was supposed to be. But anyway, a lot of us didn't do it. But what we've done that I love now is we'll go back for Christmas Eve and we'll have great Christmas Eve services. But it's almost like that's a turn in. It's not a turn out service. A lot of the community comes because they've come to love it now. But we don't really do it for the bigger community. We do it for our church.
And they love it. It's one of their favorite services. One of my favorite services of the year.
So hey, this is Ava James. She is our very first grandchild.
Yeah.
She got us off to a great start right here. Yeah, Ava and James. You'll see her parents in a minute, but she decided to come early.
Yeah.
So
you want to get mom? Okay.
Is there anything else I'm gonna say?
I don't think so. Have a Merry Christmas,
yes.
Everyone.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Yay. Okay, yes.
Yeah, this is Andrea and Jacob. They've been married
bring them
since.
You can bring them on.
Yeah, bring them all on.
Let's see how they do.
Little man is chaos. Here we go.
This is Andrea Cabella. This is our oldest daughter.
Hi.
Most of you know her. A lot of you know her. And yes. This is Lincoln. This is Ava. This is Jake, her handsome husband.
And it's this way.
With little Will. And so they have three under girls.
Three, two and a half.
Two and a half and under, which is a very busy life right now.
And Jake is in the middle of his master's in education when he's done. So he's working and going to school. So they're a busy, busy couple.
Living in Santa Fe right now. And so we're just.
His brother pioneered church is going really well in Santa Fe. Hope you see Santa Fe. Correct.
Like you said, Jake's getting his master's right now. Andrea's got her degree from. In journalism, right?
Yeah.
She worked there for a little while, worked for us for a while, and as well as Jake. So you're just raising babies now.
Yeah.
And you've got a part-time. You're working part-time. So anyway, we're just talking about – Ava wants to go now.
Come back, sugar. There you go.
Come on,
Jake. Okay.
Mike is laughing at Jake.
Yeah. And Jake grew up with our family. So he and Mike were like the best of friends. So he's been a part of our family for a long time.
Jake is on my 13-year-old select baseball team that went to the AAU Nationals. He's the third baseman and left fielder because no one can play just one position on my team.
Yeah.
And he pitched. Actually, did you win the game with pitch?
I
probably, you pitched a good game.
Probably.
I got lucky.
Anyway, so we're just talking the entire, I mean, yeah. I thought of a few funny memories, but just maybe what are some of the thoughts you have about just how keeping your holidays happy, especially now with babies? You do such a great job, you know, managing your
Andrea's family. Our go-getter. She's a real planner.
Well, you know, they did.
Yeah, you don't
want to
get that.
It's going to be interesting. You know, mom and dad, I'm sure the other kids said this, we were downstairs corralling these kids, but they did such a good job planning so that we could have just a happy time. Because as we all know in church, Christmas is a very busy time. But, you know, I always felt like it was so well planned that by the time we got there, we were such a priority. And the how and the who, obviously what we were celebrating, Jesus, and the how we celebrated was always way more important than, you know, can't tell you what gifts I necessarily got. There are a few that stood out.
Yeah.
But just, the gifts, I can't remember all of that so well as I can just how they made us feel the priority. They made the reason that we celebrate Christmas the priority. And so that's something that in our own family, we've really tried to emulate is just.
Sorry, guys.
It's just embracing the chaos and making it meaningful. So.
Yes, and you've done, you know, your little advent calendars and how you just started doing that with your kids already, you know, with these three, which is so fun. And it does take intention, such intention, doesn't it?
Most good things in life take intention.
Yes, exactly.
So. Draw the lines and then let the crazy fun come as you color in the lines.
Yeah,
right? So.
How about you, Jake?
Well, first off, thank you all for saying yes to God.
Yes.
Because I like to think about is, what if you didn't say yes to God? What would your city be?
Yes,
and what would the people's lives be? So thank you for that commitment, that sacrifice. I think one thing during the holidays for Andrew and I that we observed from you guys and from other people we look up to is the same detail that we put into ministry over the holidays, the time that we put in, the sacrifices that we put in during the holiday season. Is the same detail and sacrifices and initiality that we put in for our family to perhaps celebrate the holiday season. So one thing vocabulary we like to use, we never say I have to go to a rehearsal or we have to go to another meeting, another Christmas party, we have to go buy another Christmas gift. But we kind of do it together as a family. And it's like our family time that we go to Target and pick a gift together. So we kind of draw just as a family doing it together, celebrating the holiday season with both church and our personal lives.
Yeah. Church has always been a big part of all of our lives. And so it is so good to do that and really be intentional about that, but then go home and really focus on your own family.
Yeah, we had one pretty good fight. And it was during our early musical drama days. And we had one night left. I mean, it was like we were just learning how to plan better. And there's a lady in the church, bless her heart, just came from another church. And the pastor and his wife from the church she came from had trouble in their marriage. And so I was getting ready to go to the car and we're going to get eggnog. We had like an hour and a half or two. It was going to be awesome. But this lady talked to mom for an hour and a half. So we got in the car and I said, what happened? She said, well, this pastor and his wife are having trouble. And I said, well, this pastor and his wife are having trouble. This is our only, she's just so good hearted. But you have to be intentional because, you know, there's just so much going on. And I mean, some of my most meaningful things, this has been a hard, hard year. But, you know, the meaningful things is like one of the founding members went to heaven this year and her family called and got me permission to go out and just sit and hold her hand. She's in her 90s and just let her know that everything that she prayed for, we're going to keep working for as a church to see God touch her family members and do the things that I know were in her heart as she was passing away. Before mom and I came Saturday night. We stopped by some of the older members' houses and we took them gifts by, and a couple of them we went in and just talked to them for a little while. So it's a really special time. If you're planning it out, it doesn't even feel that busy. It seems like it goes really quick. Yeah.
So it's fun.
Am I in trouble?
No.
I didn't even know that.
No,
I always like to tell stories that help guys out. Like, you got to help a brother out. We all make some mistakes. So
I was thinking about the Christmas we did at Posada. Remember?
I remember. And I
was scared. My goodness. I took him into, tell that
who,
one.
Who knows what we did. We didn't know where we were, but we didn't even hardly know where it was.
It wasn't.
I wasn't raised in Texas. It wasn't Victoria. So I tried to eat a tamale with the husk on the first time. So I wanted to do a posada because I was raised Catholic, but they don't do them like people do in South, Southern Texas, the Hispanic people. So I wanted to take my kids to a posada and see what it was like. Andrew, you take it from there.
I can't remember everything. I just remember we didn't know what was going on.
We wound up
at a random person's house. I don't think they were on the list. And
were they eating food in their house?
They still gave us hot chocolate and cookies. So.
Well, I think it was in not the safest neighborhood that we chose it to go to.
So
but we marched through with everybody and mom spoke tongues the whole
time. But, even that, the fact that you guys were trying to show us, that was what mattered.
Yeah, and it was the walk of Mary.
It had meaning.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, that was all dad. That was totally dad making.
Oh, hey, I'm so glad you got to go.
Thank you for coming on, baby.
She's got real nice support now.
Oh, man. That's good. Was there anything else you wanted to share?
No, I just, like Jake said, you guys are so important to your community. Yes. So thank you for what you do. And I pray that this holiday season, you're able to celebrate well with your church family, mm-hmm. but really well, able to prioritize your family as well. And that I pray blessings over your kids. Cause I know how that can be that they share you, yes, but God rewards them too. And he honors them too for that. So
absolutely.
Hope you guys have an amazing Christmas. Yes.
That's good. You'll wave everybody. Bye-bye.
Sleep, I think.
Okay, let's go.
Bye. Is Jamie coming too? Oh, yay.
Okay, I think we have Mike, our firstborn, and Christy, his wife. CC's here. I think Kopi might be taking a nap.
Yeah.
So.
Hi. Ooh. Hi, everybody. Hello. This is Christy. A lot of you probably know her.
Yeah, a lot of you know Christy. She's actually the coordinator for Significant Church, and Michael oversees Significant Church. And so Michael was 2 years old when we went to Pastor Faith Family Church. So he's been part of every Christmas we've had, man, as pastors.
Yeah, he has. Mike's our oldest. Most of you know that, our worship pastor and
creative pastor oversees the creative,
And then Christy directs, coordinates Significant Church, and she was in the church forever, so she's a girl.
Oh, I
so you were in the church before us.
Yes,
you were.
Yeah.
Like 1 year before you guys got there, I was there.
Yeah,
her mom. Really, 1 year. I can still remember she was a little girl. We were in the sanctuary, and one of the founding members of the church started in his house. She looked up at him. Cutest little girl. And she said, why are your ears so big? Yeah. That was my first memory.
Christmas. She was always real honest.
They won't let me live it now.
Yeah.
At least I'm honest.
Yeah, that's right. But your mom was a single mom when she came to church. And she raised you in church.
Right. My mom was a single mom and since I was one. And she brought me to church since I was 2 years old. We never missed a Sunday or a Wednesday. Anytime the doors were open, we were there. So my hat's off to my mom. She did a good job, And then she met my stepdad there. And he's played on our worship team for how many years?
Probably like 25, 30.
Wow.
Probably pushing 30.
Yeah.
And you married him, right?
They were the second wedding I did. The first,
second wedding he ever did on his birthday. So they're in virtually the same day as Pastor's birthday.
Right. Yeah.
So I've known Michael since he was 2 and I was 3, I guess, but I don't really remember it. But we grew up together and then ended up being married. So it's really cool how God has worked that out. And we lead worship together. And
beautiful voices, both
beautiful.
Them,
so yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. And they have Copeland, who's not 2 yet.
He's 19 months.
19 months. And Cece is
She's three months.
She's so sweet.
Cecilia Noel, first Christmas.
Copeland's sleeping, and that's good for everybody. We'll just say that.
I don't know. I'm hoping he wakes up. Two and a half.
So you've had a busy
Yes. We've been busy. For sure.
That's great. You got 2 blessings. So that's awesome. 2 healthy babies.
So, Mike, honestly, you're the creative pastor, and we just came through Stories of Thanks, which, I mean, gratefully, we have between 80 and 85% of our COVID attendance now in 2019, giving's ahead of 2019, so we're really grateful for that.
Right.
But, man, this has been a couple – I mean, you started out – for those who don't know, Michael was a college baseball player, And he was at ORU. And then Terry Poole, who played for the Astros, came to Victoria, recruited Michael back to play for our team in the city, University of Houston, Victoria. And then sophomore in college, my worship pastor got offered a real large church out of California, hired him. Michael was leading out in our youth. And I looked at him because I found out Palm Sunday. And I said, guess what, Mike, you're up. And it was Easter Sunday.
It's crazy.
And so then I'd never heard Mike lead worship. I'd only watched him play baseball, basketball. And so then afterwards, I had our Heart for the House, and leaders would come up saying, you're not going to look for a worship pastor, are you? We love Michael. And I said, well, he's got to finish college. I don't know if he should be doing this. And then he came to me and said, you know, Dad, I think I love baseball, just not as much as you. And he,
as much as you love baseball.
As much as I love baseball. Yeah. Thanks for fixing that.
I love you.
Yeah.
He loves
so,
you a lot.
So anyway, you really, from that point forward, you went to college and you led our worship department. And you were 20 years old, finished your college degree, and done some other things, studied music at UCLA for a while. But basically, a few years ago, you took over as one of my department heads, and you run all the creative guys. This has been, with COVID, I mean, lean on you guys. This has been a crazy year. And the last 4 weeks, honestly, were four of the best. I mean, Stories of Thanks was fantastic, well attended. Yeah. Even on Thanksgiving weekend, we were up in the, you know, up at the high range of attendance.
Right.
Had our big Christmas concert last week. So this is a well-deserved week of rest for you. And then you'll get back and get Christmas Eve ready.
Right.
But just, and Christy's right beside you.
Yeah,
I mean, it's almost like you can't be a good coach unless you have a good player. So
right, totally.
You got an ace in the hole. You can put her on the stage
right.
And she can just nail it.
She doesn't tell me that.
but talk to the pastors. We're just wanting to, you know, things that we've done well, things we could have done better because...
You definitely learned.
Yeah.
Learned
well, do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay. Jeff and Eden talked about their traditions earlier, like to kick things off. And I was like, that's some of what I was going to talk about because one thing I remember, and I guess I can talk from a kid perspective and now...
Yeah, from adult.
I mean, a little bit. The last 2.5 years at least. This will be our third Christmas as an adult with kids. But as a kid myself, what I remember... so well is just the consistency of the traditions that we had. So I always knew as a kid that no matter what was going on, no matter what protection, no matter what events we would have as a church, we were always going to have Christmas Eve by the fireplace. We were always going to get up on Christmas morning and open presents. And we were always going to have lunch together on Christmas, And so those, and oftentimes we would always take a little trip somewhere in December to make sure that we, got away and got together when we could.
Tried to find some snow usually. Went to see my family a lot.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So just the consistency of that, even if it wasn't, you know, I know everybody's different, but even just Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, having that, protecting that the way you guys did, no matter what was going on, that just helped as a kid. You know, you always had your Christmas, you know.
Exactly.
So that was one thing when I was thinking about, what made Christmas special to me? It was just the fact that I knew every year we were going to have that. And that was special. And so we did that for the first 25 years of my life.
Until we'd probably
still be doing that if we weren't all married. But, so that consistency to me, of the traditions was really special. And another thing that was special was just that, I know we've talked about keeping, you know, what I'm not saying and what I'm about to say is to bring your work home because I don't think that's necessarily right. But what I did love is we always felt like we were a part of Christmas with the church family and with you guys.
Yeah.
So it never really felt to me like church was competing with me enjoying Christmas.
Yeah.
It was kind of an add to my Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, if we were doing a concert or a production or something fun, we would often be a part of it. We enjoyed being a part of it. And we would make it fun as a family. And we would go out. I remember one time we did a production and I forget what happened. I think I slammed my door.
And you came in between my office and you slammed your finger in the door.
So funny.
I think we had three services we had to do. And it was the first one.
And you were how old, Mike?
I was probably like six.
Not 21, right?
No, you're probably five or six.
Six, yeah.
But you had a part in the little...
skit with me. And you basically let me know, Dad, I don't think I need to go back on.
Because your fingers hurt.
Yeah, I told him this is going to be. Yeah, I just can't do it. Yeah. I was like, I don't know if I can do the next service. I just have to do it. But anyway, he didn't do this often, but he told me, he said, listen, if you can make it through, I'm going to buy you a new Nintendo game. So I made it through. But just, so many of my memories come. And when you ask him for a funny story, even one of them came from one of the things we did at church. But so many of my memories came from that. And it was, I think what Jeff and Jake and Andrea were saying is the way that it was communicated, the way that we were included. It wasn't, we have to do this, we have to do this. It was fun.
It was fun.
And I think some of that, a lot of that goes to the way that you guys led us. And a lot of that also goes to the culture of our church. You know, I think that hopefully, you know, it's important that you take a look, and is my church fun over the holidays? It's somewhere we want to be. It's somewhere my kids want to be. Because if not, then that could be telling, you know? So for us, we were blessed that it was. And so, and I think most of the people on here today, it would be the same thing. So the way that we got to be a part of it, it wasn't necessarily competition. It was more kind of addition to us enjoying the holidays.
And for a lot of years, we actually started the holidays with a volunteer banquet. I don't know if you remember that. Mm-hmm. We don't do it that way now. We do our volunteer banquet on our church anniversary because we didn't have stories of thanks and some of the other things that take that time of year. Right. So we started it with a volunteer banquet. And that was a way to start a family feel. So a lot of ways to do it. But you remember the day that we rented the community center for it because we were celebrating how these few families had become all these people serving and what God was doing in the community. Remember when I ended up in the cornfield?
Oh, that's right.
That was a memory, huh?
Yeah, I remember seeing Emily and Jeffrey in the back seat. We missed a turn, and all of a sudden we were going through this cornfield, and they were just bouncing in the cars. And Jeff was sleeping.
Somebody said something. I turned around. Next thing I knew, it was pitch dark.
And I think Andrew put her hand on one of their faces so they wouldn't fall.
Some of y'all relived that.
Yeah, I think we did. I was just glad I got out of the cornfield. I thought, man, I'm going to get stuck in this.
That poor farmer. That was crazy. What he thought in the morning when he saw
all the ruts everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah,
there were ruts too. It was not like it was hard ground, and it was bumpy like they do when they're done. Yeah.
That was funny. We loved it
once we got back in the road.
Yeah. But we laughed hard about that.
Yeah, we just always, you know, you guys, we tried to make it fun, tried to make it enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tried to make it, you know, a fun part of our Christmas, but it wasn't all we did. Like I said, we'd get away as a family. We would make sure we always had Christmas Eve. We always had Christmas morning. Mm-hmm. And
can you remember the time we did things sometimes like where the church family, people in need would submit things and we'd do, that's why I like Significant Church. We share ideas.
Right.
Do you remember the time we showed up and the wife's husband had just left her? And we showed up with a Christmas gift. That was
stuff like that. I remember a car one time that you got to give a family.
Got to give a car away.
just as a kid, it's fun. And those things stick with you.
It's just fun. It's a fun way to live. God's good. Mm-hmm. The most used word in the scripture for church is family.
Right. So, yeah.
I have a question. Has Pastor ever been in any of our Christmas productions?
He sang one time, right?
He was a lead role.
Pastor said, wow.
Pretty
lead one role. Time they talked me into acting and preaching both.
Yeah.
I got done, I told them, no.
Never again.
Oh, that was
no,
so
I do. I just wanted to mention it.
That one time I did, yeah.
He's a talented guy.
I don't know about that, but he was a overwhelmed guy.
He played himself, so that helped.
That helped. But it's just what's hard is that when you're preaching, all these guys know, if you forget this part, you can usually figure out a way to weave it back in. When you're acting, if you don't think of the right line, it's not easy.
That's true. Well, like Michael was saying, as our church has created, it's so much fun during the holidays. They've created so many events and productions and things like that, photo booths and the Connection Center and hot chocolate, you know, every Sunday for the month of December, Christmas cookies and things like that. So those things have actually become, throughout the years, family traditions for me and my family and now our family. So ever since we've had Christmas Eve service, that has been one of our family with my parents, my sibling. that's something we never missed. That's something we always looked forward to. So like Michael was saying, I just thought those were really wonderful things, like to have those things at your church that people can make part of their family traditions. Mm-hmm. And so we would, my whole family would go to the Christmas Eve service. And we knew that after Christmas Eve service, mom would have a full on spread at the house. She would make this thing we called a Christmas ring. It was, I don't know what it was delicious. And we would hang out by the fire and we would all open Christmas presents together and watch one of our favorite Christmas movies. That's one of my favorite Christmas memories and traditions with my family. But I love, now that I look back, that, you know, Copeland and Cecilia will be able to have Christmas Eve services as part of their Christmas traditions now. And it's just going to be fun. And I'm going to love seeing them grow up and be a part of the productions and all that. But one of the things we were talking about yesterday is how to keep our holidays. That's great. It is so important because, like we're talking about, Copeland's taking a nap. If he does not have his nap, he's not only not so important to plan, be disciplined and plan out your rest through the holidays. Like I said, I know that sounds crazy and sometimes impossible. But a better environment, things for your children, for your spouse, everybody's just happier. So that's something that I would think that would be key to making, you know, your high. So like Andrea was saying, is, you know, you don't have to keep up with the Joneses and make everything so perfect. Like, your kids won't look back and remember exactly how the house looked and everything you ate to a T, but they're going to remember if mommy and daddy were in good moods, if they were fighting, if they were... tension. They're going to remember the environment you've created for your family. So I just encourage people to, you know, take it easy, make it simple. Sometimes simple is better. And I'm the person who's always over the top. So I'm preaching to the choir here. I always got to remind myself, like, it's okay. Yeah. If it's
and over all the decorating, you have to get
right.
All the decorating
ready. So, I'm trying to do that as well, you know, just make the environment really special and healthy and happy for our children. So we also wanted, Michael and I, just appreciate all the pastors. We know what you do. It's just, it's crucial. And I know that your communities are so blessed, so thankful to have you. And we just want to say a big thank you. Mm-hmm. We love you guys so much. We appreciate all your hard work. You guys are so special to me. And, you know, these two have set such a great example, not only to us, but to our whole congregation of how to have your, how to keep your holidays happy. They just set a really great example to all of us. So we're super thankful for you guys too.
Thank you so much. And I think she said something, and I think Andrew said it too as well, that pastors, you're creating family for people without family.
That's right.
And you become, you know, the Bible says, he says, lonely in families, and you're doing that in a big way in your communities. And I know people just love you and they appreciate what you provide for them, just the experience that they get to have because of who you are and what you're doing. So thank you for who you are and thank you for what you're doing. And just during this season, for being there for people.
Yeah, you know, you'd always say this when the church was younger. And of course, I grew up Catholic and I never missed a Sunday. I mean, I can't, when we went on vacation, I really cannot remember missing a Sunday of church as a kid. I can't remember being sick enough. I can't remember something being so important that we would miss church. So I can't remember missing that a Sunday. It was just crazy. But when I came into our kind of church, just because service has to be so good, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on the service. Yeah. And mom would remind me a lot. She would say, just remember church isn't all about the service.
Right.
And she'd remind me about of the family. And the word community is common unity. Mm. And unity can't be forced. Just, you know,
right.
So what I've learned is that where people have common interests and a leader can help them make a common investment, then you have community because there's a common interest. The leader helps make a common investment, and then there's a community that forms. And even if you're starting really, really small Christmas, because we did, and we had 80 families. And I remember the first, actually, Christmas weekend was on Sunday, my first year of pastor, which meant I wasn't going to have my guy on the piano. I wasn't going to have my guys on the guitar. We showed up we just pieced it together. And I preached the message. God said, yes. I think I stole it from Billy Joe Doherty. But anyway, it was our first Christmas service ever. But what I learned after that is that the more we do that, the more we team build and everybody has a part. Right. And even what we're doing this week, Chris, you're saying the kids, you know. So this Sunday, it'll be kids' Christmas, and our children's pastor will be preaching, and the kids will be on stage. And I'll miss them. Usually, Mom and I leave for our anniversary, and I fly back for the service, but I don't have service responsibilities. But one day, we could do what we're doing now, because CC and Kobe are going to be looking forward to being in
it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So.
Maybe singing. Kobe will be playing the
drums. That's crucial, though, because you're talking about one thing you taught us is, you know, don't just build a program to have a program. You know, it's about that's teams true. And people that's having true. A purpose. And because if not, you're going to run yourself to the ground. Rest is impossible. Enjoying the holidays is impossible. Yeah, so everything exactly we're talking right. about, it's important that people don't feel this pressure just to create all this stuff for the holidays, exactly. but really lean into, you know, empowering.
Yeah, yeah, we've learned the hard way. We've learned from the Bible. We've learned from mistakes.
Yeah,
but it's just good. And Christmas is awesome. I know some people, they say, well, I think Jesus was born like closer to Easter. And I think that might have been true, well, just the things I've studied. But the reason Christmas developed like it was is because the Romans, when they started trying to Christianize the world, during the time whenever the earth is at its coldest, barrenest moment, they had a holiday, the pagan people, and they changed it to Christmas, that the warmth of the sun, God's everything. So I kind of like how we come to the end of the year and we celebrate family and we remember we don't want to be human doings, we want to be human beings. And I just love this Thanksgiving to Christmas season, actually Thanksgiving to New Year kind of.
Right, right.
So awesome. Anything, babe, we just have a few minutes left. Mike, we're going to start out the year. You and I work on we're going to start out the year talking about how to have your best year ever.
Right.
And we're going to start with Eric Smith, who can help us a lot with marketing and connecting with our community. We're going to have Coach Mike Conaway on with us too. We're going to talk about things that we can share. And really it's about focuses. I know for me, you know, some staff are called to your church, some staff are called through your church. And we always look at January as a good time to kind of connect with staff and find out where everybody's at. A lot of times if we have to get some new employees, we start looking in January, but we don't do it over Christmas. We try to just have a good family time, good warm connect over Christmas. Then we get moving. And one of the things I like about the webinars is I'm a first generation pastor. So anybody that could help me think like completely, it was a big help to me. And we like to help pastors share with each other so that we maximize the seasons of the year as pastors.
That's good. That's good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm thankful for you guys, you know, tuning in and staying with us. We're out in a cabin getting away, speaking of rest. So yeah. I know our internet, we've had a little lag and some stuff like that. And so we've done the best we can out here with, you know, the whole family. But thank you guys just for sticking with us and for being a part. And we're so, so thankful for you. And I'm looking forward to next year. I'm looking forward to our leadership retreat and to seeing many of you guys there as well.
Yeah, Corpus Christi, January
31. It'll
be warm. The it'll be warm for all you guys up north. And there's going to be a lot of free food, I promise you. A lot of great fellowship going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can't wait.
Great sessions.
Yeah. Love to see you guys there.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys so much for having us.
Yes.
Thank you for allowing us to be on with you guys. Thank you for coming.
It's been fun today. Real fun. Yeah. Kobe slept through it all, didn't we?
We made it.
I heard him cry. Somebody cried, but it wasn't him.
It wasn't Copeland.
It was a specific cry.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we love you guys. We hope y'all have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. And we'll take a little break. We'll get started again in January, like we said. But Tamara, would you just pray for all the pastors and all the families as we head towards Christmas
Eve? Amen. Father, thank you so much for the amazing pastors and their wives and families that are with us today. And God, that are all over small county America doing something for you that is so powerful, so impactful. Father, we just thank you for them. God, I pray that you would bless them this Christmas season. Let them know how powerful and how wonderful they are in their communities, Lord God. And Lord, maybe, you know, sometimes we don't hear it, but as often as we maybe need to or would like to, but help them to know how precious they are to you and to the people that live there. God, what a light and what salt they are to their region, God. We just thank you, Lord, that let this be a very special Christmas for each and every one. God, every family, every child, every grandchild, Father, that's represented here, Father, we pray it would be very special. special. And God, we just thank you for the gift of your son, the Savior, Lord Jesus, that we love so much. And we thank you for, Lord, our time together. We ask that you bless, Lord, the remainder of the holidays for each and every one. Let it be a bright and beautiful new year for all of us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, great being with you. And remember, from now until January 1st, if you wonder if you should eat it, the answer is yes. The 21-day fast cometh. So let's have a good time. We'll be praying for you guys. Thank you for your friendship. It means the world to us.
Merry Christmas.